Let's all get to the book of Amos. As you know, we go through books of the Bible here. We just went through Revelation, Mark, Nehemiah, and we are in the book of Amos. We're finishing it up. We are in Amos chapter 7. And remember, you guys, we are being built. You're called spiritual priests. You're called shepherds or shepherdess. The Bible says literally, you're being built brick by brick by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. One of the really neat things that I found over watching ministering to people for many years, it's not the big charismatic people. It's not the super intellectual people. It's not the type A personalities necessarily. It's not the whatever it is. What I've noticed more than anything else is just simply somebody who shows up for Sunday, studies the Word, takes the Word into their hearts, shows up for the Bible studies that we give. Those are the people that grow a lot. When I heard Whit, I don't even know where he's sitting or if he's still in here, but like when I just heard him, I remember him when he first started coming. What a difference. When I'm hearing him talk, I'm like, right on, right on. That's it, brother. You got it. You got it. And it's not flashy, and there's no bells and whistles. There's no laser light shows. It's simply being faithful. And what you're doing is you're letting the Word of God, you're building yourself up brick by brick on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make you grow. That's what's going to make you strong. That's what's going to build that house upon the rock. Does that make sense, everyone? So continue to do that. Seek the Lord and seek His Word. Okay. So if you remember, we are in the book of Amos, and it's really a terrible time right now for Israel in the north and Judah in the south. People aren't really following the Lord. I want to make sure I say this right, because there's tons of religious activity. In our language, people are going to church. They're going to Bible studies. They're singing praise God, hallelujah. They're giving tons of tithes. They're building on this and that and adding expansion. We would see it as like a prosperous time. The economy is going great. But God's like, you're doing all this stuff, but your heart's not right. When you get home, you're not the same there as you are when you're at church here. And that is not how it should be. And so God keeps telling them, guys, you are being too complacent. You're being too prideful. You're being too whatever, right? And he keeps telling them and warning them and warning them. Listen, discipline's coming. Judgment's coming. If you don't change your ways, you of all people should know better. You in the house of God. And they're just doing this. They're turning a blind eye. Because of money or popularity or pressure, whatever it is, they're closing up their ears to what the Spirit of God wants to say to them because their hearts were focused on self. Can I tell you something? I took off the glasses. I'm legally blind without them. I cannot see anyone. I'm telling you. So if I look at, I'm just looking at blurs. You're all a blur right now, purposely. The same thing happens in church today and in churches today all over the place. And so how important it is to make sure that our hearts are right. You could be coming here for lots of reasons, and we're glad you're here, 100%. But we need to make sure that we're seeking the Lord. Are we serving the Lord? Now, I heard Jason did a really good job last week. Yes? Agree? He was actually my devotional. I listened to it on the Home Fellowship Church YouTube channel. And so if you haven't listened to that, listen to it. I found that was good and challenging. And so I want to encourage you to listen to that. But so God is speaking some harsh words because they just won't change. They're not going to do it. They've sunk their heels in. They've crossed their arms. And so judgment is a-coming. So we start off in Amos chapter 1, verse 1, if you look at me with your Bible. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me. Or some of yours might say, this is the vision that the sovereign Lord gave me. It says, he was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested. And just as the late crops were coming up. And so this is something that God was showing him. It didn't say that he spoke it and he heard it. Or he heard it in his heart. This is something that the prophet Amos saw, right? And so the prophecies of Amos that we've been going through here, through this whole book as we conclude, in these chapters 7, 8, and 9, right? He's going to conclude them with five visions of judgment, and they are not pretty. Everybody likes to talk about the love of the Lord, and he is loving, and he is merciful, and he is graceful. But let me tell you, there's also correction. There's also rebuke, and there's also judgment. So we have to balance that out to say we need to make sure that we get our ducks in a row, right? Does that make sense? Okay, and this is what they are, okay? The first vision is the vision of locusts, where we're going to talk about in just a second, in chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. The second vision he has is a vision of fire. The third vision is a vision of the plumb line. I'll explain that in a minute. And the next week or so, we're going to talk, as we finish out this book of Amos, we're going to talk about the vision of fruit in chapter 8. And then the next week or so, the vision of the ruined temple. And that's actually, I think, supposed to be 9. But I got the scripture verse wrong on that last one, I just realized. But anyway, so... And then it says that he showed me. So again, this is not something that he heard. Now, these prophetic words that God had shown Amos here, right? It didn't make Amos's life easy. When God speaks something to your heart, especially when he wants you to share with others, let me tell you, that makes it a little bit harder for you. Because one, you're trying to walk closely with the Lord, which is exactly what Amos is trying to do. He had to make sacrifices to stay that close to the Lord, to hear his voice properly, to see what God is showing him. He had to walk closely with the Lord. And so that's a sacrifice to receive those blessings. But also, our friend Amos here, right, the prophet, also had to give these words to people who were rebellious. And that, by and large, was not received well. He's in good company. My wife used to call me the weeping prophet many years ago. That was her nickname for me. And the reason why, it was because of like Jeremiah. He would try to preach the word to the people, and the people would like attack him and rebel against him and throw him down the well and call him names and all sorts of horrible stuff. But Amos has a hard life. Now, here's something that's interesting. What says it's talking about prophecy. It's talking about visions. So here's a question for us. You know, are they for the Old Testament only, like we're reading, or are they also for us in the New Testament today? I would say I agree with you. That sounded like Kathy's voice. I don't see her, but that's exactly right. I would say so. Now, here's things that you have to understand. Okay, first, the first thing is any prophecy or any vision is never, ever, 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 never, never, ever, ever going to contradict God's word. Why do I say that? Because people tend to get a little too overly, how do I say this? Excited, zealous. And let me tell you, they very much, people, our hearts, the Bible says our hearts are deceitfully wicked, right? Apart from walking in step and in spirit with the Lord, right? It's deceitfully wicked. So we can even deceive ourselves. And plus, we have an enemy that's right there. And so, well, Pastor, I just believe the Lord gave me a vision that I'm supposed to leave my husband. Yes, he's a godly man, but I need more. Or I actually, these are things I could lay out a whole bunch, and it could go the opposite way. You know, Pastor, I've been walking with the Lord faithfully, and somebody gave me a prophetic word that I need to be, you know, walking with him. I think I could just focus on it more if I didn't have to deal with the wife and the kids and all that kind of stuff. I think I've heard so many, it'll never contradict Scripture, okay? So if you ever hear something or these TV preachers saying something that contradicts Scripture, turn them off. Okay? The second thing is we need to be very discerning when people have a prophecy or vision. What I've also come to find out over many years of serving the Lord is you have some wonderful people who genuinely love the Lord, but they're not very discerning. There's a fleshly spirit that is up, and they get excited, and, well, I think the Lord is telling me this for you, and it's not the Lord. And sometimes there's a demonic spirit speaking, right? If they're not walking with the Lord, they could be listening to a demonic spirit. You don't want that. Or they could be overly zealous. They could be listening to the enemy. When somebody tells me they have a word from the Lord, and God gives it to me, what I say 9 out of 10 times is, this is what I believe God is speaking this for you, and I think you need to go and you need to pray about it. If it's from the Lord, he'll confirm it to you. And if it's not, then you know what? It was just Pastor D being overly zealous. So that's how we should deal. If anybody, because people, why the Lord told me this, and the Lord, I can't even tell you how much the Lord told me, how much I hear. So now, with all that being said, you don't want to throw the babe out with the bathwater. Does that make sense? Okay. So with that being said, all the way back in the Old Testament, in Joel, this is Joel 2:28, okay? It says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men, Pastor Gary, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So this was, now, in the book of Acts, right? Now we're in the New Testament time, right? When Peter and those, the apostles, were being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and people were like, what is going on here? What are these people? What are they? Are they messed up? Are they been drinking? What are they're preaching in power? We're hearing them in our own language. What is going on here? This is what he told them. He said, listen. He's like, this is of the Lord. He referred back to Joel. He said, this is what was spoken about long ago. This is what's happening right now. And he said, it shall come to pass that in these last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now, you have, okay, Pastor, but that's just that one scripture. Let me tell you, it's actually talks about visions. I don't have time to go all over, over all of them. At least 26 times talks about visions in the New Testament. Okay, so for example, that's not even including prophecy, that's just visions. So for example, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 10, when Ananias was told to go see Saul and to lay hands on him. Now, Saul was a brutal guy killing people. And Ananias is like, oh, Lord, this guy's a bad guy. You don't know what you're saying. He kills people like me and throws them in jail. God's like, yeah, I want you to go. You don't understand. He's going to be the Apostle Paul. He's going to bring my word. Go lay hands on him. And anyway, he said, yes, Lord. So that's in Acts chapter 9. Also, God telling Cornelius was a Roman soldier. To go to a Jewish home would have been a big no-no. But God told Cornelius, that Roman soldier, right? He saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius, hey, I want you to talk to Peter. Blah, blah, blah. And on the other side of that was in Acts 10, 1-6. On the other side, God told Peter, if you remember, he was on top of the roof of the house and a sheet came down. And then he's like, oh, Lord, I can't eat these unclean things. He's like, hey, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And there was a knock on the door. It was the Gentiles. It was Cornelius' group saying, hey, please come back. Talk to us about the Lord. And he was even wondering about the meaning of that vision. In Acts chapter 10, 9 through 17. Ouch, sorry. This is so hard. I'm Italian and I can't walk around. I'm like, what do I do up here? Okay. Also, Paul's vision of the man in Macedonia in Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 10. Paul had that vision saying of the man saying, come and help us. Or Paul's vision in Corinth to not be afraid. And to keep on speaking. Not to mention the book of Revelation, where, let me just tell you, this is one of my, from the Revelation study. Revelation 9:17, tons of vision. And I know I'm giving you a lot, but I just want you to understand. Even in the book of Revelation from chapter 1, the very beginning, verse 9, even your header in your Bible should say the vision of the Son of Man. And God presents all this stuff to the Apostle John, what I showed him and what he saw. So we have to understand that that prophecy and visions are for today. They'll never contradict Scripture, but we need to be discerning. I've probably had, as far as prophecy, a lot. God has given me a lot over the years, I will say that, prophetic words. Visions, I've only probably in my whole Christian walk with the Lord, probably only have about three. And I hesitate to even tell you what they're like, because I don't want you to compare it. Sometimes they're a little bit different. But I guess what I'm saying is I want you to be open to the Lord speaking or showing you stuff. Listen, when it comes to dreams, let's be honest, most of the time, bad pizza, our subconscious, right? Crazy, wacky stuff. But God could also speak to you through a dream. So be open to that. Ask him, Lord, is that you? You know, but be open to it. Now, it says that this is what the sovereign Lord showed me as he was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested. So the king's share was like almost like a tax. So before everybody else got food, the king of the land said, I get my food. Now, the first tithe was supposed to go to the Lord, but they weren't really doing that. The king of the land was saying, I want my share first. And so he was taking his share first, and now the rest was to feed all the people of Israel, right? And so afterwards would have been these late crops. So Amos was a farmer, and he knew how devastating this swarm of locusts could be, and how I don't know if you've ever seen these locusts. Anybody live in Mayaca or anything? Anybody? Here? Okay. Have you seen, like, how big, even just, and not compared to the, they're monsters. It's horrible. I remember as a kid, Lisa's mom had one of our kids just crush one of those things. I still remember the sound. This is huge. Anyway, they just clear out everything. So, right, if they did that before they harvested all that wheat, there would be famine and plagues, and that judgment was so awful. And so Amos 7, 2 to 3 goes on to say, it says, when they had stripped, this is in his vision, when they had stripped the land clean, I cried, I was almost too much to bear. He's like, he knows, he's a farmer. He's like, I cried out, Sovereign Lord, forgive us. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. So he prayed and he interceded, and the Lord relented. This will not happen, the Lord said. And first off, that tells me one thing. I don't have a scripture verse for it. But in Ezekiel, it says that the Lord said, I looked for a man who would intercede, one who would stand in the gap for others so that the judgment wouldn't have to come or whatever. God is always looking for that man, that woman. Sometimes we can be like, God, why am I being faithful? Nobody else is being faithful. Listen, you be faithful. You serve the Lord. Listen, let God put those things on your heart. Maybe he'll give you, speak something in your heart or when you're reading his word or even supernaturally, a dream and a vision. There's a whole book that's done by Voice of the Martyrs called Visions and Dreams, where they're documented cases. And then Voice of the Martyrs is a conservative group where Muslims are being reached in the outermost places of the world. Jesus is appearing to them through visions and dreams. They're freaking out, getting saved. One, if I remember correctly, was an Egyptian imam who got saved. The stories are incredible. I'll try to bring in a couple copies if you'll remind me. They're short stories, documented stories. It's amazing. Anyway, but he says, Lord, forgive. So Amos knew that God was righteous and sovereign in his judgment. But unlike the prophet Jonah, if you remember him, that's the guy with the big fish, right? He was self-righteous. So God was telling him to go to these people, right, of Nineveh, preach to them so that they would repent. And he's like, I don't want to do it. They're bad people. They're not going to listen to me. They don't deserve. You're going to forgive them if I do that. Not the right, a little self-righteous, wouldn't you say? And I've watched a lot of Christians. We can be that same self-righteous way, right? But Amos wasn't that way. Amos was kind. He was compassionate in the Lord, and he cared about the people, and he didn't want the judgment carried out in this manner. He knew how terrible, even though he knew that they deserved it, he just didn't want it done in this manner. And that's a good lesson for us. Listen, if you're walking with the Lord and you're zealous for him, what I've noticed, the more zealous you are, the more word, you can also become a little self-righteous in it. Now, what should really happen? We have to guard our hearts. The closer we walk with the Lord, the more information we get, the more transformation we should get. Our hearts should become more loving, right? Does that make sense? So the Bible says this. This is in Ephesians 4:32. It's a good reminder for us just to be like Amos. Amos was still speaking the truth, right? People didn't hear what he had to say. But he said it in a kind way, a compassionate way. He cared. Here's a question. It's easy to harden your heart. I've walked with the Lord for many years. It's easy to harden your heart. Peggy, do you still care? Ian, are you still compassionate for others? Or have you shut down? Vinny, will you take the time to love others like Jesus loved you and forgave you? These are good questions for each one of us to ask. But the Bible says this, he said, for you and for me, listen, even with all the knowledge you're getting and information, he says, I want you to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. See, God loves your zeal. He loves that righteousness. It's just the enemy wants to distort it into something that looks judgmental and self-righteous. And you don't want that. Remember, the backdrop of everything that God does is kindness and compassionate and love. Amen? So Jacob here, when it says, so it says, how can Jacob survive? He's not talking about a person, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Old Testament. It's another name for Israel. And it may be like he's reminding God, in a sense, that remember, Jacob, he was the weaker little brother of Esau. Remember, in Isaac's family, Lord, he was weak. And so are we. Israel's weak. We can't take this. Please relent. And so Amos pleads with God to relent, as little Israel would not recover from this locust famine. Hold my calls, please. And it says that the Lord, this is really cool, that the Lord relented. Now, there's only a few times when people, first off, it's amazing to me that people can pray and God could look at their heart and say, okay, I'm not going to do it this way for you. Now, judgment's still coming, right? But Amos joins a select few of prayer warriors, prayer intercessors like Abraham in Genesis 18, Moses in Exodus 32, Samuel in 1 Samuel 12, Elijah in 1 Kings 18, and the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And God mercifully relents from sending this particular calamity this way, right? And so, did I not save it? No, okay. Anyway, he goes on to say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is in the next verses here. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord had showed me. The sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. So this is the next vision that he's being shown. Amos 7, 5 to 6 goes on to say, then I cried out again, sovereign Lord, I beg you, please stop. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. So the Lord relented. This will not happen either, the sovereign Lord said. Now, there's a couple things I notice here real quick. In the first vision, the land was devoured by locusts. And the second vision, it was devoured by fire and drought. And the Lord was like, okay, I'm going to relent. I'm going to send the water. It's not going to happen in that way, right? And again, a vision comes to our prophet friend Amos. And again, he prayerfully intercedes, or he pleads with God to relent from sending this type of judgment upon a rebellious people. Again, these are all, what does this have to do with us, Pastor? Well, God wants you and I to be prayer warriors, brother. Here's what I've also learned after many years of following the Lord. And maybe this was a bit of pride. I don't know. I didn't think it was in my younger years, but I really thought I could change people. I can talk. I'm sincere. I'm passionate. You know what I've learned? I can't change anybody. There's only one person who can change a heart. And that's that person and God. So, right? And so, but here's what we can do. Here's what I can do. I can speak the truth in love like Amos is doing. And the other thing I can do is what Amos is doing as well. 1 Timothy 2:1 gives instructions on prayer. And this is what he says. Amos says this, and this is cool. He says, I urge you, or some translation, I'm begging you. Just like he was begging God, right? He's begging us. He's actually talking to Timothy, but this is for us too. He's like, I'm begging you guys. First of all, number one, that prayers, petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Let's say I know that Jason is struggling with something. Well, I could just say, well, he was walking with the Lord, good for him. Or you know what? I could be praying for him. I could be praying, Lord, I'm not saying he is. I'm just giving an example. I could be saying, Lord, will you please help him to overcome this? Lord, please protect him from evil. Lord, give him the strength. And it being an intercessor, praying intercessory prayer, and this is just my own picture, is almost like if I'm praying an intercessory prayer for Lisa, I'm almost, and the enemy's attacking her, I'm almost getting in front of Lisa with the shield of faith and taking the hits for her so that she can get stronger in the Lord or recoup a little bit from the attacks of the enemy. Does that make sense? Here's the thing. Nobody raise your hands or say, I'm doing this. Are you doing that for other people in your life? Are you doing that for multiple people? Ricardo. You should be. Are you doing it, Terry? No, don't actually answer. These are rhetorical questions. Are you doing it, Bob? Listen, and if you think, well, these guys are in better shape than I am, let me tell you, we all need prayer because we're all the same. We all feel weakness and we all can mess up sometimes, right? Yeah. We need to be praying for one another. Here's another thing. If you're an island, right, and you're never meeting with any of the guys or the gals or whatever like that, nobody knows to pray for you and what to pray about. It's easier, but it's not better. Does that make sense? So we need to pray. Well, even intercessing when it comes to our country, I'm thankful for the direction that things are going in our country. At least a little bit better, anyway. but you know, whether you I don't like Biden, I'm not going to pray. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to pray for him. I don't like Trump. I'm not going to pray for him. Listen, God wants you to intercede for them. Pray this way for kings or presidents and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Right? That's 1 Timothy 2:2 in the New Living Translation. Does that make sense? So stand in the gap. We need you. Your friends need you. And the other thing is, get to know others in that way so that you know how to pray for one another. Capiche? Heal up and blessing in Jesus' name. So let's continue. It says in Amos 7:7-8, it says this. At least, would you just make sure the AC is at 70? Oh, and I'm sorry, Don, you had a question, and I don't know where the microphone is, so somebody could run it to him real quick. That'd be awesome. or a comment. And this will be an excuse for my wife to turn it down to refrigerator level. Just like I like it.
So you're talking about
yeah.
how God would save a country or change the direction of the judgment by one man standing in the gap, I guess they call it, something
yeah.
like
that. Yes, sir.
But I think the first step, if you go to Amos chapter 6, it says go to Caleb and go, you know, he had to do something.
Yes.
He had to humble himself. He
yes.
knew he was going to go into an arena of hatred.
Yes.
Because he's speaking a word that's hard, and they're
yeah.
they're thinking, oh, hey, you're wrong. Everything's going great. We got money in the bank. We're doing this. You must be wrong. And he was willing, it says, to go.
Absolutely.
And I believe that's the first step. When you have a vision, you got to be obedient what the Lord showed you.
Yes.
And, right?
And whether he's showing you in the vision or a prophecy or in the word, that's 100% true. That's step number one, is you have to be obedient.
And then you use Jason as an example. I trust him. So
okay.
let's say the Lord showed you something about Jason.
Yes.
You've known him long enough to have a relationship.
Correct.
That you can speak a rebuke or a word of...
corrective word, yeah.
Correction.
Yeah.
And he's not going to fly off the handle. I'm never going to go back. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You've built that trust. You've taken the time to cultivate an atmosphere of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what men need, because we're not going to just open up to some stranger.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what we all need. I will say this, too. It's a good word, everything that you're saying. However, I do want you to know that sometimes, in fact, I would even say half the time, even if you have a relationship built up, people don't want to hear it. At the school, my baby could never have done anything wrong. It's all these other rotten kids. You know, but we're just trying to help you, help your kid, to help your family. Or in the Lord, I can't even tell you the amount of times where I've said something. Now, as a Christian, right, we should be saying it as with love, kindness, and compassion, right? So if they're not going to listen to you, they're going to have to jump over the hurdle of love. They're going to have to jump over the hurdle of humility, right? And that relationship to not listen to you. I mean, they have to really work hard, but I just want people to be aware, it still doesn't matter. God, you still have to do what God's called you to do. In fact, there's a scripture verse in Ezekiel. It was actually something that the Lord gave me personally, okay? And this is in Ezekiel 3. I'll just read it to you because it was just relevant to me. But he said to me, he's like, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So in other words, go to my people and speak my words to them. You're not being sent to a people of obscure speech or difficult language. I'm not sending you like I am, Dana, to another country and you have to learn the language. I'm sending you to your own. In fact, I'm sending you to God's people. He says, I am supposed to listen. See, I am supposed to speak. Excuse me. I am supposed to tell them, right, whether they listen or they fail to listen. So I'm learning to be faithful to the Lord. So you could either receive it and people are like blessed, or you can get mad at all, get out at me. I still have a responsibility to the Lord and to you to speak the truth in love. Does that make sense? But it starts with going. It starts with learning. It starts with obeying. And this time, the next vision is in Amos 7, 7 to 8. It says, this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to the plumb with a plumb line. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, look, I am setting a plumb line among my people. I will spare them no longer. Listen, so God's still telling him, listen, just because I'm relenting from sending this type of judgment, it's coming because I've set up a plumb line. Now, this is the third vision. Now, how many people know what a plumb line is and what it does? Okay, half. Okay, that's good. Everybody know what a level is, right? Okay, so a level would we find out if something is horizontally, if it's flat, if it's even, right, so that you could build, right? A plumb line would be vertically, and you usually would put it on a string like this, and it would hang down, and you would use it to build a building and whatnot, and to see if the building was straight. Now, God's word is that plumb line. God's word is the Lord's measuring. It's nothing else. It's his word because it's his heart infused by his Holy Spirit. And that's what he's judging. It's not on how much they're giving, how much time they're spending at Bible studies, how spiritual everybody else thinks they are. Hey, how are you doing matching up to God's word, building your life brick by brick on God's word? Are you ignoring me? Are you building on firm foundation? Are you building it straight and tall? That's what he's looking at. He's looking to see if their character, the people, are they upright? Are they true in character? And if they really love and honor God. You see, when that plumb line is set, you know, that's really determines, okay, are you obeying the word? And you could say, I've watched this also as a Christian. I just love the Lord so much. I love the Lord so much. He who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. But it's he who has my commands and what? Obeys them. God says, that's the one who loves me. I think that's John 14:23, right? 1 second. So Isaiah, in the same way, says, Isaiah 28:17, this is a New Living Translation, he says, I will test you with the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness, right? That's his word. I'm going to test you. It doesn't matter if I think you're the most spiritual person in this place and your life isn't really lining up with God's word, then you're in trouble. Okay? And he's talking, this is in the book of Isaiah, since your refuge is made of lies and a hailstorm will knock it down, since it's made of deception, a flood will sweep it away. So it's almost like, are you building your house firmly, straight, on the foundation of the rock, according to God's word, that plumb line, right? Or are you building it on the sand where it's going to erode and wee-wah and collapse? The Bible is that plumb line. Listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful for teaching people. Are you being taught by the word of God? Or do you just listen to words and look at the scripture pictures? Are you allowed, is someone allowed to rebuke you? Is someone allowed to correct you? Or is your first inclination, I'm going to get mad at them. How dare they? Oh yeah, they're doing it in a kind, humble, loving way. How dare they? Or are you like, I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. Yeah. Are you being trained in righteousness? If anybody played a sport here, a group sport, raise your hand. Oh, like four? Okay. Well, in a group sport, if you play baseball, you train over and over and over again. You go through drills, right? Football, baseball, right? You do it over and over so that when game time comes, you don't even have to think about it. It's so ingrained in you because you've trained yourself to be godly that it just happens. So in so doing, look, you might fail 10 times, but if your goal is to get it right, you could fail 100 times. But if my goal is to train myself to be godly, you keep that training. If you work out, you know, if you keep training and training, eventually you're going to get it right. You're going to build that muscle. I never got the abs, but... So, okay, yes, and you had a question or comment there.
Yes, I was just going to say I used plumb bob when I was surveying.
Yeah.
And I think in there we used the plumb bob for the cornerstone.
Yes.
To shoot the angles of the walls and houses.
Right.
But it's also used, and I think they're using it as it pinpoints the center of where you start.
Yeah.
And... basically, it's a cornerstone. It's for cornerstone.
Yes.
And pinpointing the little thing so you can, you know, set the 90s. But in this sense, I think they're talking about it. That's the pinpoint. When you're on that plumb bob, that's centering.
Yes.
Everything.
Here's the plumb for you. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you. And it's right here. The Bible Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Bible. This is what he wants you. Oh, there's my paper. Elijah, can you grab that? So, thank you, son. You can just leave it to me.
All right.
Thanks. So there you go. It's important, and we can't ignore it. And so Amos 7:9 goes on to say, the high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the king. And so the plumb line, if a building is not built, right, plumb, centered on the cornerstone, or it's built, what's going to happen, right? It's going to lean, the entire building is going to, almost like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? And if it's not repaired or rebuilt, what's eventually going to happen to that building? It's higher, it gets it's more weight, and it's going to crash. It's also going to destroy the building and everything around it. Does that make sense? So God's like, listen, if you're not going to correct it, if you're not going to rebuild it, then I'm going to destroy it. Because it's going to damage, the building is going to be destroyed, and everyone around it is going to be destroyed. That should be a sobering warning to us. At least it is to me. And so Jeroboam, for those of you who don't know, was the king of Israel in the northern kingdom who had set up his own ways to worship God instead of doing it the way God commanded. God said, hey, I want you to all worship me in the temple down in Jerusalem. But the king up north was like, I think we can worship this way. It's not according to the word, but who cares? It's close enough. And so that's why it's so important. Well, I think this is okay. Well, the culture tells me this is okay. Well, God's word says it's not. So I'm not going to go the way the culture goes. I'm going to go the way God's word says. Does that make sense? All right. He goes on to say in the last bunch of verses, Amos 7:10 through 11, he says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, this is the main place of worship in the north, sent a message to Jeroboam, the king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you. Oh my gosh, what do you think that's going to do? Put a price on his head, right? It says, in the very heart of Israel, the land cannot bear his words. Now, God's telling them to repent, and they're not listening. People don't like it when you tell the truth. Again, say it humbly.
Yeah.
Say it lovingly. People won't like it. It's not popular. But can I tell you something? Who cares? Ultimately, I mean, I like everybody to love me, right? I do. But if I have a choice between God loving me or you guys loving me, one winner every time. Because what I've noticed is people are fickle. People would love me and laid down my life for them. Then I tell them something they don't want to hear. I hate you. How could you say? It's the weirdest thing. So, for this is what Amos is saying. Now, I don't know if he was actually saying this or if this is just his interpretation. Most of the time, the enemy makes up, takes a little bit of truth and skews it. It says, Jeroboam will die by the sword and Israel will surely go into exile away from the native land. So Amaziah was the priest of Bethel, and that would be like having the lead pastor in the northern kingdom. He would be in charge of leading the whole religious community. So unfortunately, Amaziah the priest did not like what the prophet Amos was telling the people. But instead of repenting before the Lord and listening, he chose to rebel more against the Lord and his word. It's sad. And lead the other people to do the same thing. He attacked and undermined Amos in the worst possible way. He lied, and I don't know if he knew it or didn't know it, but said Amos was out to get him. And then the same priest, right, the lead pastor, I wanted to say something, but the Lord told me not to. Okay, I thought it would be really good there. Then Amaziah, the priest, said to Amos, get out of here, you prophet. Get out of here, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah, down south. Earn your bread there. Do your prophesying there. We don't want to hear all this God's word, God's word, God's word up here. We want to do it our own way. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. So two quick things I notice here is, one, he tells him to get out, right? He's kicking him out of the church and even the country. Instead of being humble, right, Amaziah gets angry. And that's a good lesson for us when we're confronted. when we're confronted, listen, as long as somebody's not being a jerk about it, right? Eat a little bit of this. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Just humble yourself before the Lord, right? If you're exalting yourself, I don't like what you... I can't tell you that Neely has told me many things I don't want to hear. So has Jason. Neely tells me all the time things. My wife, where is she? No. I'm sorry, just kind of joking around, sort of. But anyway, Pastor Gary, listen, people will tell me things that I don't like to hear. So I can either be like, that Gary is such a joke. Jason is such a jerk. Neely is such a pain. How dare they? I'm the pastor. Or I could be like, let me listen to what they're saying. Let me hear. Is there truth? Now, sometimes people confront me, and then I have to be patient and kind and humble. Try not to get too mad and respond to them. Tell them, hey, this isn't true. You misunderstood here, whatever. But when you're being confronted, don't get angry. Humble yourself. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, and does that include you? Everyone, Laura, does that even include you?
Yep.
Melody, does that include Melody? Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to become, because here's what God says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Oh. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. And this is where it goes. Blah, 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 fill in the blank. And you all got a million excuses, because you know why? I had a million excuses too. Humble yourself, admit you're wrong, ask the Lord for help and others for help. God will help you. All right. So let's finish this out, okay? The second thing I notice is what they did not say to Amos. Look, there's no mention, hey, this is the Lord's sanctuary. No, it says there's no mention that this is God's temple. It's the little k king of the land, right? It's our country's kingdom. It's a temple of our country, not of the Lord. Amos 7:14-15, these closing verses, says, Amos answered Amaziah, and I love this. He didn't get all ticked off right back at him. He just said, hey, I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was a shepherd, and also I took care of some sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending my flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people. He's like, hey, I'm just speaking the truth in love to you. You do what you want with it, right? He didn't have to validate himself. God's, how dare you, sir? No, this is just what it is, right? So Amos was just an ordinary guy that God called to do his work. He's not in it for the money or the status or the popularity or the power or the perks. He does what he does because Amos wants to love and obey the Lord. You know what? Can I tell you something? Amaziah the priest appeared successful by worldly standards, right? Big church, pastor, big all this stuff. But in fact, the Bible calls him a hireling. And I've noticed that, I hate to say this, I'll just say many pastors, right? I wonder how many of them would still be pastoring that church if they didn't get any money. If God just said, you know what? I just want you to minister to my people because they need to be saved. They need to grow in the Lord because I love them. I wonder how many pastors, how many ministry leaders would continue to minister at that church. Or would they, like, because they're a hireling, leave and go somewhere else that paid them some more money? Interesting. That's the difference between someone who's called and someone who's a hireling. Right? Adam Clark said this, I loved it. He said, hireling priests of this kind or pastors have ever been the great enemies of the true prophets of God. And when they could bring no charge of false doctrine or immorality against them, have accused them of conspiring against the government or religion. And because they have preached against sin and have held up as inciting insurrection among the people, So in other words, the real pastors are going to be hated by the hirelings. And that's, we find, because they're wolves in sheep's clothing at best. And so Jesus put it this way, and this is in John chapter 10, 12 to 13, talking about hirelings. He says, a hireling or a hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. And you know why? You know why he's going to abandon the sheep? Because they don't care. They don't belong to him, right? And he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters them. See, someone who's called says, listen, things are difficult right now. Okay, I don't need this. I don't need to pastor this church. I don't need to serve in the ministry. I don't need to do this. Bye-bye. Let me tell you, if I wasn't called, can I just tell you, selfishly, that would be me. However, God has called me. So listen, whether money comes in, whether money doesn't come in, whether everybody likes me or everybody doesn't like me, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord because he called me here to do that. Does that make sense? I'm going to speak the truth to you, even though I don't want, you know what I don't want? Can I just tell you what I don't want? I don't want confrontation. But if God tells me to tell you something, even if you don't like it, do I have to do it? Yes. And so do you, actually. It says the hireling or the hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Isn't that interesting? Look, you could have the biggest church in the world, but what if all the money dried up or all the popularity? What if nobody praised you anymore? What if nobody paid you anymore? What if nobody empowered you anymore? Do you still do it? Do you still do what you do, minister to others because people are thankful or people notice? Or do you do it because you're serving the Lord? It's a good question for all of us to ask, right? Do you have something to say real quick and then I got to wrap it up? Sorry. Somebody else raise their hand. Yeah.
Just one more thing to ask, okay. To add. When it also speaks, the fact that the hired hand sees the wolf coming, you know, it also shows, you know, areas of persecution. You know, yeah. And whether that be, you know, division in the church, or whether that be situations where the enemy's bearing down, because there might be, I wouldn't doubt that there's probably some who might have been hired and the Lord was maybe using them here and there. And and yet when the enemy came, it all collapsed, you know, because he built it on sand.
That's a really great, actually, I didn't even think about that. But that's really very, very good because the enemy is going to, we got one more back there. Jason, would you mind? So keep your hand up. But that's a really good point because the enemy is going to come in. As you're volunteering. How many of you volunteer in some way here at the church? Just raise your hand. Look at all the people. Can I tell you something? You're going to be attacked. And they just want you to quit, or they just want you to get bitter, or they just want you to get mad. Whatever it is, don't do it. Just be faithful. So,
I saw a note in your Bible one day, and it stuck with me, and it said, being humble doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. And it was very profound. I'd seen that written in your Bible somewhere, and it stuck with me.
Yeah, actually, that's really good. Thank you for sharing that. I'll also make a note, not to leave Bible open for Ron. And then these last two verses in closing, Amos 7:16 says, Amos is like, okay, all right, Amaziah, listen, now then, you hear the word of the Lord and you say, do not prophesy, do not speak the word out, right, to Israel and stop preaching. That's what you're telling me? I've had people tell me that all the time. Not in this church, but I do it anyway. But anyway, it says, stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac. Stop telling us things. We just want you to tell us itching things that we want to hear. And that's not what, and this is the doozy. Ready? This is the end judgment for this guy, Amaziah. Remember, he's popular in the world. Things are rocking at his church. He's over the whole country. I mean, they're prosperous at this time, right? And it's all going to collapse as judgment comes in for this guy, right? He's telling them, you stop preaching. Get out of here. We don't want you. We just want to tell everybody that there's no sin and don't worry about it. We want to be seeker friendly and we don't want to tell people about it. Listen, Amos 7:17 says this in response. This is what, this is the prophetic word of Amos to this wicked, wicked pastor. He could have told all these people to repent and to change. He would have had a profound, but instead he threw these people out. Don't listen to them. Listen to what we said. Therefore, this is what the Lord said. Dang. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city to survive. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. Listen, this guy had everything and all the backing of the king, everything you can imagine. And Amos is going to say, you know what? It's all going to be gone just like that because you didn't set yourself the plumb of God's word. You didn't listen to correction. Don't let that be you. Guys, I'm going to stand for this with my one leg. Listen, this is important. Don't let that be said of you. Allow yourself to be corrected. Make this start. If you don't do this, listen. Start reading a chapter a day. Pick a book in the New Testament. Start in the New Testament. Pick a book and just read a chapter a day. Ask the Lord every time to speak to you. Just be faithful. Just do it. And allow God to build you brick by brick into something beautiful according to the plumb line so you can be built on the rock. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these wonderful people who had to hear a hard word, Lord, but they're still here. Thank you, God, for their faithfulness, Lord, to hearing you speak through this donkey of a man, Lord God. Thank you for giving me the words to say, Lord God. Thank you for allowing us to hear your words. Help us to receive them, plant them deep in our hearts, and take root in our hearts that they may grow and produce fruit in our lives 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times for others to see, Lord God. We ask you to bless this congregation with the fruit of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 All right, guys, God bless you and have a great week in Jesus' name.